Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey Sports Station. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm not going to get no interview. I know.
On 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble and dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say you
Tuesday. A little dreary out there, but I hope your day is going well. Today on the radio show, we have, we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Talk about the NBA with Chris. And then we have Charles Fishman, our man in Washington, D.C. After that, Fish on Friday. On Tuesday, Jeffrey, Charles is in the midst of buying a new vehicle. Okay. I'm going to see if you can guess.
Do we know what?
Sadly.
Is he getting a sick paint job?
Sadly, you are going to be away this Thursday for Ride and Then Ride trivia. So we'll just ask you some quiz questions, to keep you sharp.
Yes.
Right? So what?
Jeff, we don't believe in bi-weeks.
What sort of car? Like, is it going to be a SUV, a minivan, a pickup truck, a sedan, what's it going to be? Sports car.
So correct me if I'm wrong,
Wait 1 second. What year and what brand is he looking for? He has two in mind, and actually they're the same year, it's the same vehicle, the same year, and the same brand.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong right now. He has a 3 Series BMW convertible. Like an 08?
He does have, that's his wife's.
Okay.
So, but this is his.
So he has the minivan?
He has the minivan.
Okay.
Yeah. So he has a minivan now, and what do you think he's getting?
Does he, like you, does he have a Honda Odyssey?
He has a Honda Odyssey.
I'm going to say he sticks with it. I'm going to say like a 2015 Honda Odyssey.
Very good. Very good. It is a Honda Odyssey. He's looking for a 2014 Honda Odyssey. You pretty much nailed it, though. Like, that's pretty darn good. Like,
well, this doesn't count, Jeff. You either got to be right or wrong.
Here's the truth. Charles has enough money to go buy a, whatever.
A new car if he wanted.
Not whatever, but he could go.
Yeah, if he wanted to go buy a brand new Honda Odyssey, he could do it. Yes.
It's just kind of interesting that he like me, honestly, chooses not to spend money.
Well, see,
on
I think
a
it's
car.
A little different though, because I think more so than you, Charles does strike me as someone who likes cars.
I don't know that. No, I mean he likes. Yeah, no, I actually think I spend more time lusting after cars.
Daydreaming,
go by. Yeah, daydreaming, thinking if I had more money in the world, I'd like to drive that. I think I'm more covetous of a nice car than he is. But Yeah, he's getting a 10-year-old minivan.
Now, I should have just done the math.
A 10-year-old minivan still costs roughly $16,000. You know, like it is amazing. Like,
no, the lasting price of cars now has blown me away.
And particularly like a Honda, whatever, where people assume they're going to last forever. Anyway, he does have an update on paint, just so you know, colors. He has an important update on paint colors and other matters that we'll talk about with Charles. So that's the lineup today. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Charles Fishman, Fish on Friday, on Tuesday, after that. Jeffrey, when it comes to the Minnesota Timberwolves, are you gobsmacked? Are you stunned at what we are witnessing?
So, am I stunned that they've given the Nuggets problems? No. Am I stunned that they are making the Nuggets look incompetent? Yes, that I am finding stunning.
They are in fact, as I mean, this was Nuggets guard Reggie Jackson said, they punked us. They literally just manhandled us.
They had 35 points in the first half.
This is a team, the Nuggets, they were held under 90 points three times during the regular season across 82 games. They have averaged 89.5 games in the first two games of this series. Last night, they shot 35%. They turned the ball over 19 times. They committed 3 shot clock violations. Jamal Murray went 3 of 18. The guy who was the killer against the Lakers went 3 of 18 for 8 points. Jokic, the greatest player in the world, 16 points, 16, 16, and 8. They were reduced to throwing things on the floor, absolutely dismantled by the Minnesota Timberwolves. You know, it reminds me of when I was a young sports writer working in Alabama. I covered Auburn in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a Sugar Bowl where Alabama was playing Miami, and Miami was heavily favored. And Alabama just took them apart. Like it was,
I think it was 92, right?
It was probably 92.
Yeah,
just took them apart defensively. Yeah. Just
it was like pick six after pick six.
We thought this team would win, and instead, this team with defense just came out and imposed its will, and we just had it all wrong. Now, mind you, I think very clearly part of having this all wrong is Jamal Murray is not himself. Right? Like, I mean, that is a part of it.
There's no question.
What we've known about the Nuggets is
they're not deep.
Yes. And back when in the old days, before they won a championship last year, Jamal Murray was not healthy. And they were not an elite. They were a good team, but they were not an elite team. They certainly were not a championship team without Jamal Murray. And now here you have a not fully functional Jamal Murray on a not deep team. And they are getting absolutely destroyed by the Nuggets. It's, you know, Anthony Edwards is great again, but not superhuman this time. It was, honestly, Karl-Anthony Towns. He and Karl-Anthony Towns both had 27 points. Kyle Anderson gets the start, 6 points. That shot still looks ugly, doesn't it?
Oh boy,
isn't it something?
I think.
Like,
it
remember
actually,
that
it's
one time
worse.
When he was gonna have the surgery, and that was gonna clear it up. Thoracic outlet surgery. He was gonna have thoracic outlet surgery, and that was going to clean up his shot. But he didn't need to make shots to be effective. Like in the end, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. He was great. Mike had 4 points, 6 assists, 2 steals, a nifty plus 20. Even our old friend Josh Minot got on the court. 3 minutes, drops in a 3. And so there we have it. It was something else. Michael Malone goes nuts. I mean, they did let him play early. And I guess when, you know, Karl-Anthony Towns is bowling people over, if you had called him for an offensive foul there, which is what Michael Malone wanted, that would have been his second foul. Like, you can go back. But in the end, when you're getting just smashed like that, it's kind of hard to play what if. right? Like you didn't lose by – we'll get to the next game, and then there were some what-ifs. But in this game, it's kind of hard to – it's kind of hard to say what if when you're getting – you know, when it's over at half.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the argument would be without Gobert there last night, if Towns gets in foul trouble, they're going to have problems with the bigs, and that can allow Jokic to eat. But, I mean, to me, a 26-point game is not kind of decided at
no,
the margins.
You don't know what if a game like that.
The thing that just keeps standing out to me when you're watching it is how difficult every possession feels for Denver. It just feels like to get a shot.
People talk about their bigs, but it's their wings are just swallowing up Jamal Murray. Their wings are big too.
Well, Porter hasn't been good either.
Porter was certainly not good last night. They're just destroying people, and it does make you think. I mean, we look at everything. Well, a couple things. One is, can they win the title? And the answer is, can they? Of course they can.
I mean, I think if you can beat Denver, you can win the title.
Right. Well, you can sweep the Suns, and then you can
demolish
Denver twice on the road? A team that lost 8 road games all season, home games all season long in the vaunted altitude of Denver, and you go in there and you just gut them in 2 straight games?
I mean, I looked this up last night. They're 6-0 in the playoffs, and now they have outscored their opponent in 16 of 24 quarters. And even in the second half, you know, everyone used to do like, they can't close. They've been outscoring opponents by 61 points.
So to say,
like, it's domination.
Can they win the title? Yes, you have to absolutely acknowledge.
They've been the most dominant team in the playoffs.
That they can win the title. I don't think there's any question about that. So then, because that is how we look at it, through the prism of the Grizzlies. Like, the Grizzlies, as currently constituted, healthy, right? They feel like they'd get destroyed by this team, too.
They do, but I think you also need to keep perspective. Like, this is the other thing about that we always just fall for what's going on in the moment.
Oh, there's no question.
This team last year looked like an absolute dumpster fire. Like, you were thinking the trade for Gobert was a disaster. And, you know,
they have clearly, it is amazing. Like, that trade was widely panned.
Yeah.
And they could 2 years later be holding the championship, you know, trophy here.
Yeah.
And it was widely panned. But what it feels like is you got to give Finch credit. You got to give Anthony Edwards credit. Like, now there is, you know what there is? There is what the Memphis Tiger basketball team never had, a pecking order. Right?
Well,
like, now you get the sense that people fell in line. And by the way, it's not like Naz or Cat were known for defense once upon a time. They weren't. Cat was, when he was drafted, he was thought, listen, he has the gifts. He could be a very good defensive player if he wanted to be. But, like, both of those dudes have totally bought in. Like, you now have you're right, they were a dumpster fire last year. So what has changed that they all buy in? Some of it is they buy into the pecking order. There was not a pecking order before. Maybe it's just Anthony Edwards is so incandescently good that there's no denying the pecking order if you're Karl Anthony Towns or whatever. Or, I mean, I don't know, but what wasn't working a year ago is very clearly working now.
I think something that probably is getting under-discussed, but I think it was very helpful to them, Towns having the knee injury at the very end of the year allowed him to sit and realize, like, okay,
here's how I can fit in.
Yes. And it's really allowed Edwards to be. I also think, like, there's something else. He's like, I said this in the afternoon. Anthony Edwards, like, we are acting like Towns was the thing that was holding him back forever and ever. Like, we think back to the series with the Grizzlies. Like, they had opportunities for Edwards to win the game.
Edwards didn't.
But he's lifted his game to an unreal level right now.
Which is not that surprising, given even now he's, like, you should be getting better. From,
at his age,
from,
yes.
What are we talking about, 2 years ago when they played the good, like, he was 20.
Exactly.
So now he's 22. You would hope that between 20 and 22, and I heard you talking about this yesterday, when Georgia played the Memphis Tigers, you're like, that doesn't look like a number 100%. One pick in the draft. My God, what a lousy draft this is if that guy's going to be the number one pick in the draft, is what people were saying, because he would literally in Georgia disappear.
Yes.
That speaks to growth. You know, I mean,
it also kind of shows, like, who knows in the draft?
It does show who knows in the draft.
Because I wouldn't
think... People could always appreciate his eye-popping physical gifts, right? What you don't know is the other stuff, right? I mean, hell, they were talking about Bill Simmons at the Met Gala last night, right? Ben Simmons at the Met Gala.
I was like, that would have been real news.
Ben Simmons at the Met Gala
Jacoby,
last
look at what
night.
I'm going to wear.
Ben Simmons at the Met Gala last night also has wonderful physical gifts.
Yes.
But you don't know how the other stuff is going to come. Hell, Bills just traded for what's his name, the receiver from Pittsburgh, who was traded from Claypool.
Oh, yeah, you got Claypool. Some Claypool.
Charles Claypool.
That's always good.
So, again, a physical monster.
Yes.
A total physical monster.
Mapletron.
That's what they were calling him.
Yes.
Like, when he goes to Pittsburgh originally, he is a first year, looks terrific, and turns out to be a jerk,
yes.
Evidently, you know, doesn't work hard, bad teammate. At least that's all the things he's been. Traded to the Bears. Bears traded him to Dolphins. Dolphins, he can't get on the field with the Dolphins. There's a coach who knows something about offense. Can't get on the field against the Dolphins.
And receivers.
And receivers. And so that's part of it. And obviously we didn't know what to expect there from Anthony Edwards, but it's been tremendous. I guess partly what I'm saying, though, is this. When you look at it from the Grizzlies' perspective, you know what we're talking about? We're talking about bigs, right? We're talking about – and you're like, well, maybe you don't need a big. You know, maybe you don't need a real big. Maybe you can just play Jaren at center and, you know, get by and space the floor. It's matchups and whatever else. It feels like the Grizzlies would get physically overwhelmed by that team more than Denver is. Not necessarily in the backcourt, because they got Ja. Like they could not do to Ja at full strength what they're doing to Jamal Murray, just harassing him, right?
Yes.
But and so I like the Grizzlies in terms of the backcourt, although they're small, certainly compared to the Timberwolves. But you got to be able to do battle there. Like the Timberwolves were built, it feels like, to beat the Nuggets. Should the Grizzlies, at least as they're being constructed, as you're looking for what you need this summer, should you be mindful of the fact that the Timberwolves are out there?
See, I always think that's a little bit of a dangerous mindset because
you don't know. They could blow up.
Well,
you don't know that you'll ever meet them.
Like, I've wondered, a question I've been considering a lot recently is, basically ever since the Lakers with Kobe and Shaq, so starting in 2000, the West has really been superior to the East.
Right.
And why is that? Is that it doesn't mean the East haven't won a few. One of the theories that I've kind of been kicking around is because LeBron was in the East for so long and you knew that's the standard, did teams try to build a team that could go beat LeBron? And in the end, maybe that was foolhardy because you weren't ever going to be able to. In the end, LeBron could always put together a franchise because he was the best player. And so it's always.
Yeah, I'm.
I think the
key, I'm somewhat dubious that it's that.
Ownership's probably a part of it.
Ownership as part of it. You know, one team drafted Steph is a part of it. You know what
sure.
I mean? Like, one team is in LA is a part of it, and they're going to get stars. One team. I get it. I get it. I'm just asking the question. Should you be mindful of, as you're considering the teams that you are targeting, should you or competing with, should you be mindful of that? Now,
I'm going to say no also.
Oklahoma City is a very different team.
I'm going to also say no for this reason. Minnesota's going to be, we already know they've got an ownership question.
They could decide just to pay the money.
I mean, they can, but you've already
if you win a title, can you literally get rid of Karl Anthony Towns and say we're not going to run it back?
I mean, to me, like, the question is who gets ownership of the team?
Well, that's certainly true. That's certainly true. And the current owner says that one of the reasons, maybe he's whether he's making this
right.
up or not, one of the reasons that he wants to hang on to the team is he got wind of the fact that the new ownership group was going to substantially cut salaries.
Correct. Because, and in fairness, they're going to be up against it.
Yes.
And so to me, like, there's always that question of, all right, how long are they going to be constructed the way that they are? I think the one thing that we know for certain is Anthony Edwards is going to be there for a very long time.
You would certainly think, and it feels like he's going to be awesome for a long time, although injuries happen, whatever. But he doesn't look particularly destructible. You know, he doesn't look particularly...
No, he looks destructive.
Neither did Derrick Rose look destructible. But anyway, all right. The other game, Knicks win. Both games were, well, let's be honest, that game was much more fun than the Nuggets game. Nuggets game was just sort of, you're kind of stunned watching it. This game was close to the very end, and... Pacers got screwed. Pacers totally got screwed.
So, the thing that is so tough, I was watching SportsCenter, they showed the side angle of the kickball that wasn't a kickball. I get how the guy made the call.
Oh, I totally get it.
The way
even the angle that they showed us on TNT looked like a kicked ball.
Right, because he also extends his leg.
I don't actually blame them for seeing it the way they saw it. In slow motion from our TNT angle, I saw it the same way, and I had got the chance to see it. I think it's crazy that that's not reviewable. Like, why isn't that reviewable? Why isn't a kickball reviewable?
Because they've decided the NBA's kind of, like, they won't come out and say it, but they're kind of team me. They thought the reviews were getting out of hand. And it was
The thing is, there's only, you're limited the number of reviews. How you spend them on a kickball or something else, you only get at most two. So you're it's not like, we do this, we're gonna have 10. You're gonna have the same number no matter what.
I still think we should, in all sports, we should just go to a challenge system.
I don't really understand why. I know people hate instant replay. You know, we saw it multiple times. There were two challenges that were sustained in the final 5-7 minutes or whatever of that game. One for each team. They were sustained, and I was happy they got it right. I'm like, look at that. They just completely got it wrong. And because of the challenge system, they were able to get it right. I wish they were able to get this right. I'm actually not blaming the official, but the problem with that call is it was a turnover.
Yes.
It was a turnover, and it was going to lead to a dunk. Yes. And instead, it's a three-pointer on. Now he's got to make the shot.
Right.
Like, I'm not saying it was a gimme. DiVincenzo's got to make the shot. But literally, you've got a 5-point swing there. You've got Indiana forcing a turnover, about to go in for a dunk. Instead, it's ruled a kick ball, and then DiVincenzo hits a three. Like, that's insane. And then it's interesting. I don't know where you were on the Caitlin Clark offensive foul against UConn. So UConn's up, right? I mean, I was up in the semifinal game against UConn.
Is this the one on the baseline?
And no, it wasn't on the baseline. And it was, and UConn.
Oh, yeah.
UConn has a chance.
The play was 7 seconds.
It was actually, I think, four that they called it or whatever. Yeah. They call an offensive foul.
Yeah.
On almost the exact same thing on the screen. On UConn.
This was a cleaner screen, I thought.
I was going to say, on either one, I don't know how you felt about that. Like, there were a lot of people then. It seemed to me like the consensus was, you cannot make that call. You, at that time, you have to give UConn the chance. Yes, by the book, it was an offensive foul, but you can't call it in that situation. And then other people were like, no, foul's a foul, you have to call it. This is the same thing. This was very clearly, when the 2-minute report comes out today, they are not going to say that was a bad call.
No, because they went to review it.
Yeah, they went to review it, and also, it wasn't an incorrect call by the letter of the law. There was nothing that was in, that was a correct call. The question is that a call you make in that moment?
So, if we're comparing it to the Caitlin Clark one, what made that call and drove everyone insane, the first camera angle they showed, and that was really the only angle they showed during the whole course of the broadcast until, like, afterwards when they were, let's take a look at this play again. When you saw the wider angle, she was moving the whole time. Like, she was, like, pulling a Draymond.
Right.
Like, she was doing the hop, 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 set the screen. That one didn't bother me. This was one of those ones where I'm sitting there going, like, all right, maybe he is moving at the point of contact, but he was trying to set, like, he was, it, The ones that drive me insane are when you see a guy that is just like blowing up the lane, like and moving the whole time.
Right.
That one was one where you're like, all right, he's trying to set a screen. That
let's concede. Let me ask you this. Do you believe there is such a thing as a call that is technically right but should not be called in the moment? Forget the particulars of this call or that call. Yeah, it was a moving screen or it was whatever, but it was close enough that it shouldn't be called in that moment. Do you believe in that principle, or do you believe that if it's by the book an offensive foul, no matter when it should be called?
It's so hard because my instinct is, in theory, I agree. Like, in theory, there are calls that you just swallow the whistle. We want to see the players decide the games. Nobody wants to see the game in on a free throw or that type of. Like, we want to see somebody make a play. The problem is, if you start doing that, then teams are going to get an advantage. Like, I use the Draymond example for a reason. Like, they've let Draymond get away with that moving screen for so long that it was just grandfathered in. Like, he gets to do that. Well, the problem that I have with that is not everybody else gets to do it. That's gaining an advantage.
That's a separate question. That's consistency. That's a consistency across the league question.
So fundamentally, I agree that there are calls that you let go.
And so your objection to last night is you don't even think it was a foul.
I mean, I think by the letter of the law, he was moving slightly before contact was made. Therefore, it is a moving screen. I have seen.
Do you think it should have been called?
No. I did not think. But I also acknowledge this. I think that was a useless challenge. I think it was so close.
Oh, no, it was a useless challenge. There was no way they were going to. But what are you going to do? Like, correct. You got a challenge in your pocket.
Well, the only thing I would argue is he would have had two timeouts, and when you're down two possessions, you could at least advance the ball twice.
Right. And, I mean, it's not like, of course, in every game, there are a million different ways they could have won the game. Nembhard didn't have to do that stupid foul before the inbounds play,
yes.
Right? That made it
an extra free throw,
game.
Yeah.
Nembhard, earlier in the quarter, could have blocked out Josh Hart after he missed a free throw and he gets a bucket. Like, whatever. That's 2 points right there. There's lots of other reasons that the Pacers lost this game. Some of them, by the way, involving Jalen Brunson going for 43.
Yes.
Like, so I'm not saying the Knicks didn't do good things and that the Pacers didn't do bad things. And, you know, there wasn't a lot of other things you can point to in this game. It's just, in that moment, both of those were, the kick ball was just missed. It was just missed. Don't blame them. I don't understand why it's not reviewable. And then the other problem with the calling the foul in that moment is you're rewarding a total flop.
Yes.
It was DiVincenzo just 100%.
Which I thought we were trying to.
Which I thought we were trying to not reward.
Legislate or whatever.
He 100%. Threw himself to the ground.
Oh, there's no question on that. I actually think, so if you look at it in these terms, the two leagues that I think have put more of a burden and made the job of officials harder are the NFL and the NBA because they've added more subjective elements. Like when we talk about letter of the law, well, the problem is there really isn't a letter of the law. There's points of emphasis. And the same thing happens in the NFL, same thing happens in the NBA. If you think about it in these terms, other than umpires tossing guys at an alarming rate like the last 2 weeks, in general it feels like we argue about baseball officiating less than ever. Because I think like in the end it's like it's ball strikes.
It's also because I wonder if in St. Louis and Boston they're arguing about it. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Like we don't really talk about baseball, period.
Yeah, but like I mean I'm still watching despite right. the fact that I hate watching my team, right. I'm still watching.
Right. And do you feel like the world isn't arguing?
No, it's just not. Like the thing that people are complaining about with umpires right now are, why is Angel Hernandez still employed?
Right.
Which
right.
is,
yes.
we've been, like, that's tales all
question.
The time.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. And then the umpires have been tossing people. Like, they've been very thin-skinned. But in general, it really hasn't been a lot of.
Including the great incident where they're tossing. Because of what a fan
correct.
Said.
Correct.
Right.
Aaron Boone.
Right.
So, which was an all-timer. I don't care who said it. It's like,
that was just great.
That was
electric.
I don't
care
electric.
Who said it. It was a freaking fan.
But it feels like we've gone up the amount of criticism and whining, however you want to define it, about NBA and NFL officiating, I think, has gone through the roof. And I think it's related to the fact that we've made it harder to officiate with these stupid points of emphasis. Because we've now made it more subjective.
Well, it was a fun night, honestly, and it is certainly eye-opening. Knicks and Pacers was, as Dan Devine told us yesterday, he's told us it was going to be closer than people imagined. Last night was certainly evidence of that.
That felt like a devastating loss.
And then Halliburton doesn't seem like he's right either. You know, did nothing, literally nothing in the fourth quarter. Zero shots, 0 points, zero assists in the fourth quarter. All right, we'll talk more about the NBA top of the hour with Chris Harrington when he joins us. Again, Fish on Friday on Tuesday after that. Before that, I will tell you, if you're selling your house, Josh Hysaw would be the person to call. Flexible fees, no upfront cost, let you out of your contract at any time. I've talked to, at this point, you know, a dozen people who've used Josh who talk about their experience and how honestly, selling a house could be a pain, and he makes it easy. He knows the market. He knows what you need to do to get your house ready to sell. You know, the hope is for multiple offers. And a lot of these circumstances, you get multiple offers within, you know, sometimes within 24 hours. Can't promise that, but he can promise you that he does this job as well or better as anyone in the market and offers a whole bunch of unique situations, including he'll let you out of your contract at any time. That's how confident he is about it. And that's why if you check over at Google, you'll find out he has more than 300 five-star Google reviews. It's Josh Hysaw, 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I mean, we love just turning it on and getting the Tigers or Grizz stuff.
92.9 FM, 680 AM on the Odyssey app, Memphis' sports station.
I've been listening for over 10 or 12 years. Like, it's my favorite station.
92.9 FM, ESPN.
When people have a craving to explore new and traditional Asian cuisines, they head to P.F. Chang's, where scratch-made dishes come from the 2,000-year-old tradition of wok cooking. P.F. Chang's wanted to explore new possibilities for their website. They turned to AmericanEagle.com. AmericanEagle.com re-architected P.F. Chang's website, integrating multiple third-party systems to create a unified digital experience. The results? Improved page speed and performance, personalized content based on users' location, intuitive online ordering, an increase in organic search visibility, and a 40% increase in new users. For scratch-made Asian cuisine, visit your local P.F. Chang's or go to pfchangs.com for website design, development, digital marketing, and hosting that produce efficiency, revenue, and results. Visit AmericanEagle.com. P.F. Chang's and AmericanEagle.com. Another example of the best businesses in the world. Turning to the best in the business for websites, go to AmericanEagle.com or call 877-WEB-NOW-1. That's 877-WEB-NOW-1.
Your window into affordable luxury is Pella Windows and Doors of Memphis.
At Pella, we offer quality replacement windows at any budget.
I can't believe the price of my new windows. They were so affordable.
If I knew I could afford windows and doors as gorgeous as these, I would have chosen Pella Windows and Doors of Memphis years ago.
Right now, save 25% on your entire project or get 50% off installation.
The highest quality, the greatest value.
Choose Pella Windows and Doors of Memphis, your window into affordable luxury.
Need inspiration? Shop Kroger for over 30,000 mouth-watering choices with savings beyond low prices, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump. More savings and more inspiring flavors make Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on 12 packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or Canada Dry. Select varieties or buy two, get two free with your card. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Howie, what's going on at Robert Irwin Jewelers for Mother's Day?
Purchase $99 or more and get a free Mother's Day bouquet.
Now that's the RIJ way.
The Flexi Diamond Bangle Bracelet, it's flexible and it's glamorous. Mom will love it. They start at only $899. Mother's Day sale going on right now at Robert Owen Jewelers.
And a free Mother's Day bouquet with any purchase of $99 or more.
All locations or online at rijewelers.com. Free financing.
Let's make this a Mother's Day she will remember with Massage Envy. Let's give her time for her this year with a customized facial or relieve some of her tension and stress with a massage. At Massage Envy, we want to make a big deal out of her time with us. Customizable packages in Collierville at Carriage Crossing, the Germantown Collection at Poplar and Exeter, in Midtown on Union Avenue, and on Germantown Parkway in Cordova. Or call 901-221-1241 today. Relax. It's Massage Envy Spa.
Visit Frontier Western Store today for new shirts and boots. Frontier is your top Carhartt store in the Mid-South. There's thousands of in-stock shirts and jeans. They have the classic K87 pocket tee in every color they make, including new ones just released. Available small to 4X. Want new jeans? Frontier has you covered with super tough work denim by Carhartt. And you've got to check out their selection of Ariat jeans for men, women, and children. You'll love how easy it is to find the size and style you need. Have you seen Frontier's remodeled world-famous boot showroom? It continues to expand. New styles by Ariat just arrived, plus plenty of in-stock proven classics, too. Whether you need work or dress boots, trust that Frontier's the place to come. See thousands of pairs of Ariat boots and thousands more by Dan Post, Corral, Durango, Rocky, Twisted X, and others. And Frontier's pricing is lower than online and chain stores, so you know just the local shop to visit. Frontier Western Store, 5880 Goodman Road in Olive Branch, and on the web at frontierwesternstore.com. Locally owned and operated since 1967.
Hey, Kathy, you know, I've been seeing those State Farm commercials. You guys have built quite a team. Holmes, Kelsey, Derrick Henry.
Bundle my auto and Mahomes. Oh, yeah. Steve, we're proud of that team, and I'm proud of my team.
Your team is awesome. I know firsthand. If there's a question or problem, they're on top of it.
My name is on the sign outside, but it's my talented team inside that makes the difference.
Hey, call Kathy Thurman Edwards, State Farm agent on Brookhaven Circle.
901-767-7744. I'm not as cute as Jake, but I'm better looking than a lizard.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
You know your customers. Ralph likes his coffee black on Fridays, but Mondays he takes a little cream. Jennifer comes in every 3 years when her lease is up to get the newer and better model. And for some reason, pepperoni pizza sells like crazy on Friday nights. Who knew? At Odyssey, we have the expertise to get your media plan done right. With ads like you're hearing right now, to targeted social media campaigns, search engine optimization, and location-based advertising. Advertise with Odyssey and help us grow your business. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
NBA playoff action underway, and honestly kind of gripping last night. And if you want to place a wager, head on over to FanDuel. If you're new, you get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. You place a $5 bet and you win and you get $150 in bonus bets to bet on whatever you like. That's at FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Safe, secure, official betting partner of the NBA. So if you're new, go to FanDuel.com and use the promo code Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, to get started. Must be 21 and older, present Tennessee. First online real money wager only, $10 first deposit required. Bonus issues, non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. All right, Jeffrey, let's time to, let's play Believe It or Not.
Now it's time for Believe It.
Believe it. I don't even know if I believe.
Now I'm a believer.
Or not. Believe it or not. On the Jeff Calkins Show.
People drive too fast on Central.
Believe it or not.
I think I'm just going to say this. I believe this right now. I just think people are driving too fast. Just,
period.
Yeah.
Well, I bring up Central. I think people drive too fast, period. But I bring up Central because I was on Nextdoor, which is maybe a mistake.
Yeah, it's
and
a health site.
This person says, literally, how about this story? Today, my husband and I attended a meeting at IC about speeding and other traffic issues on Central Avenue.
IC is an Immaculate Conception.
Yeah, okay. That's good, right? Like they're obviously seeing there's a problem in their neighborhood, and so they go to the IC, Immaculate Conception, and there's a meeting on the traffic issues on Central. Last night at 10:30 p.m., a wreck occurred at Central and Barksdale that sent one of the cars into our house. The fire department stated we could not stay in the house. Let's pull to, like, do you think that's, what is that? Is that fate? Is that, what is that? What is happening there that you literally go to the meeting and then a car comes through your house and you're not allowed to stay in the house that night?
I mean, I unbelievable fortune. I mean, you know what I mean?
It's bad luck. It's bad luck. Or you think it's good luck. You think
they weren't there.
Well, they said they weren't allowed to stay in their house. I don't think it says they weren't there.
Okay. Oh, I thought you were saying because they were at the meeting, they weren't in the...
No. They happened to go to a meeting this morning, earlier in the day. And then later on, as they are, reflecting on all of this, a car comes into their house.
Yeah, I mean, that...
It's just
the only thing.
Maybe you're anticipating you're on top of things. It does show they're on top of things. People should slow the hell down.
I mean, to me,
it's not all people, you know?
No, it's not all people. But I don't know. I have historically not exactly been a slow driver.
You drive differently now than you did not because you're older and whatever, but because you are more cautious?
Yeah, because you never know, like you're. To me, it's like you're now more hyper aware that there's people like out of control.
Yeah, I think that's right. If you're going any intersection I go through now, you're sort of just looking. You know, you don't assume everyone's stopping at a light.
Or any straight where there's like not a lot of lights.
Yeah, no, it's a jungle out there. All right, Rudy Gobert absolutely should not have been at the game last night because he was with his fiance while she was giving birth.
Believe it or not.
Do we know fiance? Because this is a detail that matters.
Girlfriend, fiance?
I think it's girlfriend.
Is it girlfriend? I don't think it matters.
Oh, I definitely
If it's your
do.
Baby, why does it matter? Does it matter girlfriend, fiance,
well,
wife?
Let's compare and contrast. Coyle from the Bruins last night, he got to game one.
He had a baby?
Yes.
When was the baby born?
Same situation.
Well, so he got there, but was he with the birth? Because
yes,
they thought about getting Gobert was going to try to get there, but high winds and stuff prevented delayed airlines. So that's
an important detail. Was he trying to go?
No, evidently, reports were that they tried to go. And here's my question. In this moment in time, is it acceptable when you make $40 million a year? I don't know exactly what Rudy Gobert makes, but, you know, in that neighborhood, right?
I can tell you exactly.
And you're in the playoffs. Is it acceptable?
He makes $43 million.
Is it acceptable to miss a game for the birth of your child?
I think yes, if it's that day.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Is it, if it's that day, that I'm saying, yes. That's all I'm saying. Is it, because once upon a time, people would not have.
Like, correct.
In the Vince Lombardi era, you would not have missed a game to be with your, I think it is totally acceptable. What if it's a game seven?
Game seven, like, of
the finals, and you are the best player on the team. You're Anthony Edwards, and it's your child. What if it's a second child?
I feel like this first became a real big deal when
Phil, a football player. Who was it?
It was Mickelson, I thought. I thought it was Mickelson at 99 the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
He's with Payne Stewart.
But there, at least, Mickelson is only obligated to Mickelson. So whatever choice he makes, he's not letting anyone down.
And I also think the key thing is Phil Mickelson is not getting paid by anyone. Phil Mickelson is...
Right. He's not getting paid by anyone. He's just a subject. Whatever. He can do whatever he likes. I mean, whatever. His sponsors might be disappointed.
Right, but it's saying,
whatever. It's a totally different deal. You're not letting down your teammates. You're letting down your caddy. You're not... But you're not letting down your teammates. You're not being... You're not getting a salary. You're not... So that is the question. If it's... What if it's your fourth child? What if it's your fourth child? It's game seven. And you're the best player on the team.
I think you got to be at the game. Honestly, I'm sure I'll take hell for this on the home front. Like, you're getting paid $40-something million. The reason we have
think
the
he
life
actually should have been there last
yes.
night.
The reason we have the amazing life is that I can do this one specific thing.
Here's the other small secret, ladies and gentlemen.
The kid's not going to remember it.
Dudes aren't that important to the operation.
If anything, we're a distraction.
If anything, like, if you want to be there, it's, well, let's be honest, something to go wrong. Like, people die in childbirth, babies don't make it. There can be a cataclysmic problem, and so that will you'd kick yourself for forever, right? If you weren't there, but you can't do anything. It's going to go the way it's going to go. You're not
right.
You,
I'm not a doctor. It's not like I'm stepping in and being like,
not, "Get out of the way." Let
I got
me
this.
Take over. So you are absolutely not. Well, okay. Do you think you would be more criticized if you go to the game?
No, because here's the other thing. I think Gobert should have been thinking about.
But I heard no criticism of Gobert.
No, there was some. There was some that he should have been there. Now, it was like, that's the thing. I think there are
people like to rip Rudy Gobert anyway.
Correct. But I also think if you're Gobert, you got to think about it this way. The fan base is kind of bought into him right now. But if you're Gobert, you have to know they can flip on me at any.
Is it better for Gobert that they won or lost?
I think it's better that they won.
It's definitely better than they won. But if by winning, it's like, how important are you?
No, I. So,
but if you lose and you're not there, then you've literally.
Correct.
Then people will be playing it over and over. And if you end up losing that series, they're like, what if Rudy Gobert
correct.
Had just decided to play?
I think it's
clearly 100%. Better for him that
yes.
they won.
It's net. I guess you can do the, well, we beat him by more without him. It's like.
Yeah, no. But no one really believes that. He's freaking going to be defensive player of the year again.
But if you lose that game and then this ends up going seven. And they lose in game seven.
You think he would have been criticized?
Well, I think it would have set up.
It is definitely
It makes
changed,
your fan
though.
Base agitated.
It has definitely changed. Once upon a, like now, there's very little criticism of someone who misses a game.
Well, to me, the irony is they're getting paid more than ever, even adjusted for inflation, whatnot. Like when guys would never miss, they were making. You know,
let me ask you this.
Nothing.
I was talking about this with Mark because the third kid has put him over the edge, right?
Yes.
That family is. My third kid, born February 2nd, 2002.
Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day. 2 days later, continuing the two theme alive, I flew to Salt Lake for the Olympics, and I was gone for 20 days. When the kid was 2 days old, Peter was 2 days old, there were two other kids running around, and I was gone for nearly 3 weeks.
It does seem to me.
You know what I mean? That's worse than not being there for the birth of the child. Because that's when you actually can be useful.
Like,
right. For that period, you're needed.
Your labor.
Now you're labor. In the hospital room, you're nothing.
I think it all boils down to this one important
question. Hang on, honey. You can do it, honey. Like, you know.
The most important question. How many hands are available? Like, is there...
Are there other people available?
Right.
Yeah.
A big problem with Mark
mom,
is
mom.
They-
I think her mom came and stayed and whatever else. But still, more hands are always good.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you got, you know, a fleet of people. Pat Riley just created an incurable schism with Jimmy Butler by telling him to shut up.
Believe it or not.
You see this?
Yeah, so I did. So the real question is,
at a presser yesterday.
I'm going to say I don't believe this.
Jimmy Butler, by the way, had said that if he were
at
playing,
the F1 race,
if he were playing, they'd be beating Boston and whatever else. And Pat Riley at his availability yesterday said, "You're not playing. If you're not playing, you should," literally said, "shut up." He also called Tyler Hero fragile. What did you make of that entire thing? You do not believe that he created a schism.
No, I think he was being honest and forthright that the Heat are going to mix it up. I mean, in the end, the best ability is availability. And I kind of agree with Riley also on the, like, man, if I was healthy, like, this isn't a series. Like, well, you're not. Like, we're paying you a lot of money and you're not out
there. Well, so the
I'm not saying like he intended to get
the
hurt.
Inside the NBA dudes say that what this was, so Jimmy Butler has 2 years left on his deal. And he wants an extension, right? I think he just wants a year extension. He wants an extension.
I thought he has 1 year and he wants a 2 year.
Look it up.
I am.
Look it up. And so he wants an extension. And to me, What the inside the NBA people are saying is this was Pat Riley saying, no, you can't have an extension. That's all. He was just saying you can't have an extension. Come back and play next year, and then you can maybe have an extension.
Yeah, I mean, I think
so. How many years do you have left?
So he has next year, uh-huh, and then a player option.
A player option.
Yes.
Okay. So from his perspective, if he wants, he has 2 years left.
Correct.
And then he wants another year. Now, it is kind of amazing. In this era of the do not say anything to offend an athlete, like if anyone says anything to offend Ja, people are like, don't do it. We don't want him to force his way out of Memphis. Like, don't ever say anything bad about Ja, right?
Mm-hmm.
That Pat Riley will just come out and say, you shut up and you're fragile.
Yeah. You know what I think, though? I think this is probably reflective of, I'm going out on a limb and guessing Pat Riley's not on the internet all day. A lot of the you can't say this to athletes comes from the internet. That group think. And I'm betting Pat Riley doesn't. I'm pretty sure Pat Riley.
So do you think Jimmy Butler's going to take offense to this and ask for a trade? I was reading recently, someone made the observation that free agency in the NBA is dead. There is no real free agency. What there is you sign a player to the deal, and then when they want one out, they ask out, and then you're obligated to trade them.
Yeah, but that's mechanical. The only reason why that...
That's reality, how it tends to work.
Well, I'm curious to know if the new CBA addressed it. The reason why that was occurring was if you stayed with your same team, you could sign for more money. And so you would... The problem is there's a lot of bad faith in that argument. Guys were signing deals knowing that they were going to demand a trade.
Well, that's the thing. No, that right, but they can. They can now, whereas in the right. NFL, you can't do that. You couldn't, if you sign a deal
like
and ask
T.
for
Higgins.
A trade, they'll just say, no, we're not going to trade you.
Yeah.
Exactly, right? We like having you play for our team. Suit up.
We'll right? see you on Sundays.
Or go sit out,
yeah.
Right? Whatever else. It's just weird how the power dynamics is. And then in the midst of this new universe of different power dynamics, you've got Pat Riley not caring if he offends someone.
Yeah.
But people like to play in Miami.
He's sitting from a position of leverage.
He is, yeah. I think that's a big part of it. He is sitting from a position of leverage. Okay, here's the last one. There is a new survey out on the most dangerous. And mind you, this is just a bet MGM, like a bet whatever.
I think it was bet Tennessee.
TN,
yeah,
bet. I think it's a bet Tennessee thing. Yeah. On the most dangerous arenas in the NBA. The Grizzlies are among them.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, I mean, I'm cheating because I've seen it. The Grizzlies are number one. But I think a lot of it has to do with, like, a lot of it is location. It's like crime rates.
Oh, no, it is. It is. 100% location. That's what it's basically based on. It's like, it's not saying that they don't know for sure whether more Grizzlies fans have issues going to the stadium. And again, we get besieged in sports media. We get besieged by studies that aren't really studies.
Correct.
Right. That they just pick five different criteria and come up with a list. We get every day, wouldn't you say, Jeffrey?
Yes.
We get something about the cheapest place, the best place, the best, you know, whatever of
odds of
a million, a million different things, and none of them are scientific surveys at all. They just pick crime rate in that zip code, and you know whatever else. I don't know what the five factors were here. But anyway, did you look? Are you looking right now? At
yes.
It? So I can't have you guess what the others are.
No.
You would have imagined, it's not particularly surprising.
One and two are not surprising.
That New Orleans is two?
Right. Because of location and crime
rates. Location and the nature of,
yes.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know exactly what's going on in New Orleans right now, but it seems like a city that's a lot like Memphis, right?
Well, it's pretty poor. That area is always going to have crime. Yeah.
And Philadelphia, that's not particularly surprising, right? Philadelphia struggles with crime. These are big, poor cities.
Yeah.
You know what they are? The next two are a little surprising to me.
Well, I thought one was more surprising than the other.
You think Orlando is more surprising?
Correct.
Golden State because of the issues San Francisco's having?
It's downtown San Francisco.
Yeah. And then I would have thought Atlanta. Atlanta's six. Atlanta's six. Cleveland's seven. The Wizards, D.C. Charles talks to us about everything, the mayhem going on in D.C. all the time. That's eight. Indiana, nine. Portland, 10. Charlotte 11. That's probably.
I think the key for all of these, with the exception of is there a true downtown DC?
Yeah, yeah. There's a downtown. I mean, there's multiple downtowns, but yeah, there's a downtown area in DC. I mean,
but Wizards is more like Chinatown, right? Isn't that where I think that arena is?
It's downtown Chinatown. It's in between. Like, it's literally very close to where my old law firm was. It's not Capitol Hill. That's a different part of downtown. Capitol Hill is a different part of downtown.
I mean, I'm just looking at this. Like, Grizzlies, downtown. New Orleans, downtown adjacent. Like, you know what I mean? It's right there. I mean, Sixers, I guess it's a little
further. Where is the Sixers?
The Sixers is in the same parking lot as...
Yeah, you see them. They're all right there.
Right.
But it's in the city.
Yeah.
It's in the city. It's not out in some suburban.
I don't know where the New Orlando one is. I think it's in downtown Orlando.
Yeah. And here's the truth. The Grizzlies will tell you the same thing. I mean, they won't say it, but the Grizzlies have one of the things that Sam's written about, Sam Hardiman over at the Daily Memphian, is the Grizzlies, as they sign their new lease, they want some assurances that the neighborhood will be one that people want to come to.
I mean,
right?
I guess one of the
which
big...
is totally reasonable. If you're signing a new 20 or 30 year lease or whatever it is, you would want assurances that the neighborhood is. That the neighborhood is safe and secure and that people want to come down there.
I think one of the big surprises, Detroit's not on there.
Where is the new Detroit?
They built that little
Caesar's.
Well,
and one of the things that's happened downtown into downtown Detroit is there has been this incredible renaissance downtown.
Gilbert put a ton of money into it.
Yeah, Dan Gilbert has put a massive amount of money into downtown, buying up lots of buildings, and it is sort of... I mean, you just Google downtown Detroit Renaissance, and you'll see story after story after story about how they did it. Most of it is honestly is Dan Gilbert deciding to pour a massive amount of money into downtown. But you're exactly right; that is kind of surprising. Oh, I have one more. Mikey Williams will actually play for UCF.
Believe it or not,
and this comes in the heels of news that JJ Taylor has transferred
as well
to join him. He came originally to Memphis to play with Mikey Williams. Mikey never showed up. JJ had a very brief career here as a Tiger. So Mikey will play at UCF.
I think I'm going to say I do believe this because at a certain point they're going through the Mikey Williams checklist, which is, you know, take his commitment, get JJ on the team. Like they're taking the steps. The one thing
well,
is
what other
I don't know what he has.
I don't know what
his legal standing is. I have no idea. Like, is he gotten through the?
Isn't he done?
Well, he had to like complete something else.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know.
I'm just going to go ahead and assume.
I'm going to say
imagine he plays.
Yeah, I think I would lean. To me, the fact that you're adding JJ this late in the process would suggest that he's playing.
And then the Tigers also added an offensive lineman, Chris Adams, from Old Dominion, who had originally. He originally was headed to Washington, evidently, and instead flipped and is coming to the University of Memphis. They definitely needed offensive line. They lost a lot. Three starters off of last year's offensive line. So he joins. Yesterday we learned about a defensive lineman and a kick returner that they had gotten out of the portal. Now they add an offensive lineman to the mix as well. We got Chris Harrington coming up next, and then we got Fish on Friday on Tuesday. Busy second hour. If you are getting something framed, if you want to remember forever something that's unfolding this year, maybe your kid's graduating, they're hanging up their jersey, you want their jersey framed, maybe you have a wedding, maybe you have a wedding plan, any memory that you want enshrined forever. Like if you get those photos and you just stick them in the corner, you'll never see them. Stuff will kicked around, beaten up. It'll be in a pile. You know, 30 years later, someone will look at it. You get it beautifully framed at the Frame Corner, where they do incredible for us custom framing, you'll have it on the wall forever, and then it'll be a keepsake beyond that. It's the Frame Corner. You can walk in and buy a frame, certainly, and do it yourself, but they really specialize in custom framing. It is the Frame Corner, framecornermemphis.com. It's located at 5035 Park Avenue. That's 5035 Park Avenue here in East Memphis. It's Jeff Calkins Show. Chris Harrington joins us next, 92.9 FM ESPN. Spring is the best season in Memphis. We can agree on that, right? All the colors, all the trips and the celebrations in the entire city springing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.